Good afternoon. It's 12:06 and time for Artcentric Midday Matters here on WBOY. If you'd like to be a part of today's conversation, give us a call at 1-800-471-9264, or you can email us. It's middaymatters@nipr.fm, or post right on our Facebook page, Midday Matters. I'm Sarah D'Elia in the studio with my co-host, Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah. And it's Mother's Day on the near horizon, so Sarah and I decided to kickstart the celebration with mom-centric art-centricity this edition. And for that, we have author and mom blogger Nicole Layshaw and Bonnie Blackburn-Penhollow, associate editor and online mom's content editor for Fort Wayne Monthly Magazine. We'll be inviting you to share your questions and mom-isms with us a little later in the show, so be ready to give us a call at 1-800-471-9264 or post them on our Facebook page. But first, as Sarah and I love to do, we each have a quick pick art tip for you to consider this auspiciously mom-centric weekend. What's yours, Sarah?
Mine is something that's happening this Saturday, the 11th. It's Jazz Stories with Kenny Burkle. There you can discover the moments with Kenny as he plays solo jazz guitar, and he's also going to share some stories about the jazz artists that have inspired him. And that is going to be Saturday, May 11th at 7 p.m., and it's going to be at the Three Rivers Institute of African Arts and Culture, which is at 501 East Brackenridge Street in Fort Wayne. And if you have any questions, you can go to jazzstorieswithkennyburkle.wordpress.com.
It sounds like a wonderful event. And in the meantime, I have a very timely musical offering to suggest, and that is Sunday at the Plymouth Congregational Church. Hikaru Tamaki and Yoko Rikano Kimuro, internationally acclaimed koto performer and Fort Wayne Philharmonic principal cellist, they are performing a very special concert in honor of Mother's Day, and will perform a wide range of music, especially written for the cello and the ancient koto. So don't miss it. It's also the added treat is Japanese tea being served following the performance. And the entire event is free and open to the public. That is at Plymouth Congregational Church, 501 West Berry, between 2 and 3:30 on Mother's Day. What a treat that would be. Mm-hmm. And now we are very happy to welcome author and mom blogger Nicole Layshaw and Bonnie Blackburn-Penhollow, associate editor and online mom content editor for Fort Wayne Monthly Magazine. Thank you for joining us, ladies.
We're glad to be here.
And may we be at least among the first to wish you happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Before we get to the writing and editing and whole blogging art-centric side of your lives, we'd kind of like to get a fix on the mom sides of your lives. Is that fair?
Yes.
And so let's start with you, Nicole. Give us a brief rundown on your kids and family life.
I have four kids, an 8-year-old, twin 5-year-old girls, and a just recently turned 4-year-old son, because I enjoy torturing myself. So I decided to have them all at once, with the fake idea that they would play together, which they do, and they also fight together. So yay. And we have only been here in Fort Wayne for 3 years. I'm from New Jersey originally, and I've bopped around the country having my kids in different places. But we're happy. We're very happy here. Happy to be home. And I'm at home with them. I work from home, which means they watch too much TV.
Is this something that you decided, planned your life accordingly then to have your kids, as you said, in a tidy little bundle? If that's
No, not at all. When I first got married, I was 24, and fairly quickly decided to try to have kids, and it didn't happen quite as quickly as I had hoped. So a few years down the line, when we had all but given up hope and were discussing adoption, I just so happened to be pregnant, and that was the time when we were living in a tiny 650 square foot condo in Boston. So thanks. That was fun. That was great. We had to move to the suburbs to accommodate our family growing. And then shortly thereafter, we decided to try for number two and ended up with 3 and 4 shortly after that. So it was none of it planned. Not at all. God is definitely in charge and making fun at my expense, I think.
We want to remind our listeners that if you have a question for Nicole or Bonnie, you can give us a call at 1-800-471-9264, or you can post on our Midday Matters Facebook page or email us middaymatters@nipr.fm. Nicole, you have a hilarious book and a hilarious website that I'm not a mom, but I read it and I laugh all the time.
Thank you.
So when did you create your website that kind of is a facilitator for some of your blog outlet?
gosh, I want to say it was 3 years ago, but I've been blogging personally for my family since we moved so frequently, since my oldest was born, so about 8 years ago. And I decided I wanted to get back to writing, which is what I used to do once upon a time before I was a mom. And so I launched Ninja Mom, which is the name of my blog, ninjamomblog.com. And when I look back at some of the earlier things, I kind of hover over the delete button because it's kind of tough to grow online and in the public eye and become the writer that I am now, for better or for worse. But throughout that, I built this huge virtual community of other moms and other professional writers, and we were able to come together and put this anthology together called I Just Want to Be Alone. And I'm thrilled. I'm just lucky to be in it because there's some really top-notch writers in it.
As regards your writing life, how much of that did you get to establish and begin before the mom thing happened then?
Gosh. Well, when I was younger, before I met my husband, I worked as a reporter for a local newspaper in New Jersey, which I loved. But my husband always had better paying jobs. Maybe you guys can relate that this is not exactly the best paying industry. So when it came time to uproot and move for various promotions, I would traipse around the country happily after my husband. So I kind of fell into a lot of the things I did. I was a production editor for Oxford University Press Journals Division in Cary, North Carolina. And then I took that freelance when we moved back to Boston. And then I fell out altogether when I had my daughter and realized that it was harder than I thought it would be to work from home and raise a new child. So not much. I would have to say my birth as a writer really has been after the fact. It's been post-kids that I've been able to write the kind of things I want to write. So.
Well, it seems to suit you well, and thank you for taking and making the time to share. As we are discussing all things mom here on this very special edition of Midday Matters, I am going to move from Nicole herself, an author and mom blogger, to Bonnie Blackburn Penhallow. Now, you are the associate editor and online's mom content editor for Fort Wayne Monthly Magazine.
And moms at Fort Wayne moms.fortwayne.com. Oh my gosh, I can't even say the name of my website. Oh Lord.
Better you than me, and that's okay. Tell us a little bit about the family side of Bonnie Blackburn Penhallow.
Well, unlike Nicole, I sort of started very late, and so we were only able to have two kids. I have a daughter who is almost 11 and a son who is 5, and they are delightful children, as you know. Julia knows my children, and we have a dog and a cat and a fish. Our fish recently died, and within an hour of crying, my son said, "Let's go get a new one." So that's sort of the pace of our life.
Practically, then.
Yes, he grieves quickly and quietly, and then it's done. So, and I also work at Fort Wayne Monthly Magazine, and we run the moms.fortwayne.com website, where Nicole is a blogger for us under the name of Typo Artist.
Yes.
And we are very, very happy to have Nicole with us because she is absolutely hilarious. And if you have not checked her out yet, you must. She's very, very funny. So,
but no pressure. Thanks, Bonnie.
No problem.
And if you have a question for Bonnie or Nicole, maybe you have. I mean, I've heard some gotten some potential mom advice from Bonnie's column. Even though I'm not a mom, I remember Bonnie. There was one blog that you posted, and it must have been. It was a while back. I think it was after the December shootings in Connecticut, and you wrote a really powerful blog on like how do you explain this to your children? What are the step by step ways to kind of make this digestible for kids? And I thought that was really powerful.
Thank you.
So, and then you write some really funny things too, as well as like what your kids do, which is kind of hilarious.
I try to have a mix because it's really what my life is. I mean, my life is not, it's not always funny. I mean, there's, as we've seen in the last couple months, we've had some really horrific and painful things that the children are seeing because media is around them all the time and that you can't get away from it. I mean, when you have 20 little children killed in an elementary school, the one place they're supposed to be safe, you know, how do you explain to your child that, no, this isn't going to happen to you? Because you can't say that. Mm-hmm. You don't know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as a mom, as a parent, you want to protect your child and, you know, make them safe and wrap them in bubble wrap and, you know, and, but you're trusting other people to take care of your kids while you're not there to see over them. And it's hard. It's hard and scary. Parenting is the scariest thing I've ever done. And I've done some scary things as a reporter. And parenting is way scarier. Don't you think, Nicole? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Being in charge all the time of someone else's well-being is ridiculously frightening. Yeah. And there are days, even once you've been doing it for a while, right, where you wake up and say, who decided I would be okay at this? Because clearly there's been an error, you know, especially days when, like, I lock my dog out of the house all night.
Yeah.
And then I wake up and I think, and yet I'm in charge of four children, but that's all right.
Scariest day was when they handed that baby to me and sent me out into the world. And I'm like, wait, no, you've got the wrong person here.
I called my mother shortly after my first was born. She was slightly premature, so she was a little needy. And I said, this can't be. How come there isn't a place where we can all go and people will do the laundry and just we get to sit and commune together and just feed babies? Because it's, how do people do this? And then I'm supposed to function in the world? People see me at the grocery store and think I'm capable of making change? I'm sorry. No, I have a child. I don't know if you got the memo, but I have to go do this now, so you all have to take care of me.
Right.
Nobody does, though.
Yeah.
Interesting question you both bring up, because you do get everything done, including the mom side of life and the writing and journalistic and professional side of life. Now, Bonnie, here's a question for you, because you did, as you noted, begin your journalism career first and then add parenting to your job skills. How did that all integrate from going way before having children and then to continuing your journalism once you had children?
It was weird because once I had children, I wasn't working. When I first had my daughter, I was not working as a journalist. And I felt like, wait a minute, now I'm just a mom. This is it. I used to be somebody, and now I'm just this person's mom, and that's what people are looking at me as. Oh, you're just a mom, you know. And that, when I went back to writing, when I started back with the magazine, I was oh yay, okay, this is me, and I also happen to be a mom. And and then when we started the momstufffortwayne.com, have I mentioned that before? momstufffortwayne.com, check it out. It felt kind of weird because I kind of kept those two worlds separate. You know, the writing world was what I did from 9 to 5, and then the mom was the rest of the time. And blending that together with the mom's website and then also our mom's magazine that comes out May 17th in your Fort Wayne newspapers, where you can also see Nikki and her humor column, it became integrated in a way that, you know, I have to be careful because I'm talking about other people's privacy on my blog. You know, I'm talking about my kids and what they're doing, and I don't want them to come back at me in 10 years and say, you shouldn't have told them that I threw up a fit because I couldn't carry a comic book to school. But, you know, so I do have to respect their privacy as well as being able to share what's really happening. And you know, because I know that other moms, you know, go through the same things. So it's uniting those two worlds has been kind of weird.
A good point. And two, you're sharing your own privacy. Is that something that you have to reconcile, or is it a natural mom thing to do?
I think moms, when we get together, we talk. I mean, we talk about everything, you know. I mean, I don't think there's anything that's off limits when it comes to, you get two or three moms sitting together. I mean, all the walls come down, and you know, that's what we want with our website. We want to bring our moms in and talk about what's the hard stuff, because if we can't talk about it with each other, who are we going to talk about it with, you know?
And so once you share that, then in some form of social media, does it just strengthen your desire to put it out there and have a discussion?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a friend of mine who blogs, was on the Dr. Oz show in a show about oversharing. And one of the producers had contacted me to say, and kept harping and saying, why are you an overshare? And I said, hold on, I don't think I'm an overshare. I said, I think I'm an honest sharer. And if you're not in this group, And I don't mean that people who aren't can't peek and enjoy, but if you don't share, if you have three friends that you get together with, for example, and you're not talking about the stuff that's scary or dirty or gross or frightening or funny, then you're doing it wrong. Right. This is how you get through. There is no professional association for mothers. So I think a lot of what we do when we share is we build a community and we say, you know, this is, let's all agree that this is happening to all of us so that we feel less alone.
Right. And it builds the support to know that you're not crazy, or maybe you are crazy and you should probably talk to somebody professional. Right. But, you know, that other mothers deal with the same thing, that and that maybe they have some advice to help you get through those days when you want to get in the car and drive until you run out of gas and start a new life someplace else without children. And, you know, we all have those days. And to know that you're not the only one who's doing this, I think, you know, part of the reason the internet exploded the way it is because moms drove that.
Absolutely.
Because they needed that outlet, you know, so.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're not the only one to make a diaper out of paper towels and a plastic bag in a Target bathroom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would like to remind folks that this is a most entertaining and very special mom-centric edition of Midday Matters. We are happy to have author and mom bloggers Nicole Lee Shaw and Bonnie Blackburn Penhollow with us for the discussion. If you have a question or a particular mom-ism that you'd like to share with us right now, we hope that you will share it by calling 1-800-471-9264, or you can email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm. or post on our Midday Matters Facebook page. And you can be sure to like us while you're there. You can also find links to all of Nicole and Bonnie's mom connections right there. And another question, obviously, there's no shortage of good humor with you two lovely women. And starting with you, Nicole, how important is that?
It's the most important thing. I think humor is... I cannot imagine there should be a disease state for the humorless. It needs treatment. And it's funny because I think at our worst and most morbid moments is when humor comes in and cracks that shell and lets the good stuff back in. From everything, this is a crazy story. When my firstborn was still, when I was still pregnant with her, we did some testing and they thought that she was going to have some horribly terrible genetic disorder, which she turned out not to have. And it was very sad. I cried a lot. You know, I mean, I'm a human being. I make jokes, but I have feelings, I swear. And the only way that I coped, I would call my own mother, and we would make terribly inappropriate jokes about what it would be like to raise a pinhead baby or whatever would have happened to her. And it's terrible, but it's stuff like that that makes you laugh and then make it through the next few days waiting for the test results to find out if she was okay. It's like that moment at a funeral when everybody is crying so hard that they just start laughing. And I honestly think humor is the way that we like poetry. It's the way that we put the reality of life into perspective and that we make it more digestible and we take what seems overly tangible and break it down to bite-sized pieces.
Thank you, Nicole. And Bonnie, humor entered strongly into your journalism and your writing from probably junior high days. But how did it intensify or improve once you became a mom?
I think, you know, having the blog, I have the opportunity to be funny, you know, in print and in writing. You know, when I'm working for the magazine, I don't get to, you know, it's not a humor magazine. It's not, you know, I mean, we it's a different focus. And then when I can do the blog and something absolutely ridiculous happens at home, you know, like I cleaned my washing machine. You know, who does that? But I found it on Pinterest, and Pinterest made me feel guilty because there was a ring around the inside of my washing machine, and I don't have one of those fancy top loading or front loading ones that apparently are all, you know, like filled with horrible diseases and stuff. I have an old 15-year-old washing machine. I mean, you'd think you don't need to clean this, but Pinterest made me clean it. Pinterest will do that to you, and it's, you know, like moms can relate to that you're sitting there at 11:30 at night scrubbing it with a microfiber cloth because they said microfiber cloth is the way to do it. And now I have a sparkling clean dish washing washing machine.
I need to find the Pinterest post about scraping crayon out of the inside of the dryer because I have so much crayon built up and I keep trying to get it out, but it comes back.
Yeah, I don't get that. You know, I have, you know, and it's there. You can find
it. Why do I care?
Yeah,
I
really,
I care about the crayon. It's not hurting anybody.
Right.
I have a question. There is a recent article in The Atlantic written by, it was by Anne-Marie Slaughter, and it was called Why Women Still Can't Have It All, and it was mostly about her realizing that after trying to work 2 years at her high-powered job and recently becoming a mom, that she needed to step back from it because she just couldn't do it both. She couldn't do both. So, Nicole, I'll ask you first and then go over to Bonnie. But do you think, can women have it all? Can we be moms and can we be successful career women? Or is that a possibility?
I don't think human beings can have it all. I think it's a ridiculous myth that even our, even for men to have to live up to, for parents. My husband can't have it all. He's traveling right now. You know, he'll miss recitals. He'll miss things. I've got four kids in school. I can't be the class mom for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't also be a professional constantly. I have to put it away. I have kids who are going to throw up on me and are going to need my attention. You know, I think we just need to kill that myth. We need to slay that dragon because that's crazy. I think it's like, I think all successful relationships, you need to be happy most of the time. That's it. That's the human condition. You don't get to be happy 100% of the time. You get to be happy most of the time. And that's good. We need to embrace that and say, this is great. No, I don't have it all. But I got, so I was just thinking about this book. If this is the only thing I ever publish in print, well, other than newsprint, but, you know, in a book mm-hmm. format. Someday I'm going to rip this book out of the drawer and show it to my grandkids and say, this is what I accomplished, and this is good. Mm-hmm. It's not about enough. It's just good. And we need to kind of let that go.
And the book we are discussing right now is Nicole's latest literary offering, I Just Want to Pee Alone. And it's about a lot about momism, and that's what we're talking about today. And thank you for sharing. Did you ever think that you would write a book when you first started having children?
No, I don't think so. I always knew I wanted to write and get back to it professionally. And I should say that this book is an anthology, so I'm not the only one in it. There's 36 or so women in here. And it was spearheaded by a woman named Jen. She only goes by Jen, who writes a blog called People I Want to Punch in the Throat, which is it's great. She just took on Abercrombie and Fitch for not having extra large and double extra large sizes for women. But no, I don't know that I've ever... I don't know that I've ever thought that big. I've never been that way. I'm very small picture. When I graduated college, my Shakespeare professor said, what are you going to do? You're going to go to grad school? Because you could go to grad school. She's like, not everybody could do it. You could do it. And then proceed to tell me why I had failed at setting myself up well as an undergraduate. That's the kind of teacher she was. She said, you could do it, but it's going to be really hard for you. So, you know. And she said, what are you going to do with yourself? I said, I don't know. This is step A. I'm graduating. Step B is, I don't know, find a job. Like, I just don't think that way. So, I don't know. I'm just kind of a yes person. So if things come across my desk and I think I can do it, I say yes.
We have a caller on the line. Daniel, welcome to Artcentric Midday Matters.
Yes, thank you. And my question is a little bit similar to what was just spoken about. Over the, I don't know, is it about 100 years or so of the modern feminist movement, however long it's been, do you guys have some ideas on how motherhood has been differently perceived, or maybe even how women treated each other with their different perspectives on valuing career or valuing having children and raising a family? And that's the basic question.
Thanks for your question, Daniel. Bonnie, do you have any thoughts?
Well, I think... You know, I mean, I can't speak to what it was like 100 years ago, but I do know that I think... And I'll go back to the internet and then the sharing of stories, we have gotten less competitive maybe, and maybe that's just a Midwestern thing, but I've never felt the kind of cattiness that people talk about women, you know, being, you know, oh, my kid's got to be better than your kid and my kid's got to do this. I don't see that. I've never been a part of that. I just want my kids not to kill someone or kill me. You know, I figure if they're alive at the end of the day, I win, you know. And I'm stealing that from Nikki.
Yeah.
I think going back to that whole point of can women have it all, I mean, who decides what all is? Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a job. I love my job. I have kids. I love my kids. I have a husband. I love my husband. I have a house. I want a new bathroom. But other than that, it's, you know, it's pretty great. So I have it all, you know.
Yeah.
I'd like a little bit more money, but who wouldn't? You know, I just end up spending it. So, you know, I mean, I think, you know, feminism has changed. I think it's put, you know, that whole concept of you have to have a high-powered career and you have to have these wonderful children who get straight A's and who are, you know, black belts in Taekwondo or whatever. You know, I think there's an artificiality towards that that doesn't reflect what real life is for women. Yeah. And I think when we let go of that, then we are truly embracing what real feminism is, because it's allowing yourself to be the whole person, not female, not male, not, you know, gender limited. You're being a fulfilled human being, and that's where the where true happiness comes in, I think, like Nikki was talking about.
Yeah, I think so too. I think I do think this, so there's definitely, I feel like maybe some of my generation, a little bit younger, have a feminism backlash. Like, I'm not a feminist because we've done horrible things to the term feminism, like fem-Nazi and whatnot. So it's not, now it's a militant position to take instead of one that says, I'm recognizing that there are inequities in the workplace, for example, and in rights and whatnot between men and women, and certainly in media and how women are portrayed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in terms of the over-sexualization of young girls and things like that, which are terrible. And in that case, I think we need to remind our young girls that feminism is real, is important, and there is still a fight to be fought. However, what I think the reason that there's a backlash is I think women are exhausted now because the baton that feels like has been passed is the do it all baton. We fought for you to be able to go to work, so go to work. You know, and now women will say, well, I have the right to stay home. You know, it's like, well, and you do. And then that's where you get that whole divide and mm-hmm. the mommy wars and stuff, which I've not witnessed in a real way. I've never had a woman tell me I was doing it wrong because I was home or because I was working. Yeah, I've never gotten in a cat fight with someone over whether or not I have a 401k or mm-hmm. or if I have, you know, a well-stocked pantry with organic foods. But I do think that we are on the precipice of having so many options that I think some women feel that it's difficult to make those decisions, because when you do have kids, it's nice to be home with them. They are a full-time job, and somebody's going to take care of them. It's you or it's somebody else. They're not legally allowed to roam the streets. So I think that's where it comes in, whereas we're still at a point where for men to go to work every day,
that's normal.
It's normal.
We need to take a break for the news, but we'll be back in just a few moments. And Nicole, hopefully you'll be able to read a little bit from some of your book when we come back.
Okay.
In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments for Bonnie or Nicole, you can give us a call at 1-800-471-9264. You can post on our Midday Matters Facebook page or email us middaymatters@nipr.fm. It's 12:34, and we'll be back in just a few moments here on WBOI.
The Office is ending its 9-season run next Thursday on NBC. On The Next Fresh Air, we listen back to interviews with stars of the show. Steve Carell, who played the clueless boss Michael Scott. Jenna Fischer, who plays Pam. And Rainn Wilson, who plays Dwight. We'll also hear from Ricky Gervais, who co-created and starred in the original BBC series The Office. Join us this afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
Good afternoon, I'm Sean Beter with WBOI News. The Northern Indiana hometown of former Governor Otis Bowen is honoring him today. Bowen's funeral was scheduled for 11 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Bremen. Bowen died Saturday at the age of 95. Bowen was a family doctor in Bremen for 25 years, during which time he estimated he delivered thousands of babies. He became active in Republican politics and was Indiana House Speaker before winning elections as governor in 1972 and 1976. Bowen later was the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Secretary under President Ronald Reagan. Orthopedic products maker Zimmer Holdings has cut some jobs from its Northern Indiana workforce. The company did not specify how many workers were let go, saying only that less than 50 full-time employees were impacted at its Warsaw operations. Simmer spokesman Gary Clark tells the Journal Gazette that the job reductions were made Thursday across corporate and operational functions, but did not include Warsaw production workers. Simmer had about 1,500 workers in Warsaw among its some 9,300 worldwide employees as of 2012's end. Warsaw-Kosciuszko County Chamber of Commerce President Mark Dobson says he worries a new federal medical device tax will continue to threaten jobs at Zimmer and other orthopedics companies. And a suspended Indianapolis police officer who was arrested on drunken driving charges while awaiting trial in connection with a fatal 2010 crash will remain in jail. Allen Superior Court Judge Alan Serbeck ordered David Bissard held without bond during a hearing Thursday in Fort Wayne. The 2010 crash case was moved here because of extensive publicity in central Indiana. Bissard faces an October trial for the 2010 crash in which his patrol car hit two stopped motorcycles, killing one man and seriously injuring two other people. Bissard had been free on bond and kept his driver's license until it was suspended last week. Bissard was arrested again following an April 27th crash in Indianapolis. Let's take a quick look at the WBOY weather forecast on this Friday, May 10th. Right now in Fort Wayne, about 67 degrees, mostly cloudy skies today. Chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy with a high near 69. Overnight, a 30% chance of showers before 9 p.m., cloudy with a low around 45, and 50% chance of showers on Saturday, sunshine in the mix as well, and a high near 64. You're listening to Midday Matters here on 89.1 FM.
Welcome back to Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOY 89.1 FM. You're listening to Art-Centric Midday Matters on this May 10th Friday here, just a couple of days before Mother's Day. So if you haven't ordered your flowers or gotten your Hallmark card, you might want to do that now. We are trudging ahead here in this mom-centric show that we're doing. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and in the studio with me, of course, is my partner in crime, Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah. And we are so very, very happy to have the author and mom blogger Nicole Lee Shaw and Bonnie Blackburn Penhaller, the associate editor and online mom's content editor for Fort Wayne Monthly Magazine. Everyone's invited to participate in this show because even if you're not a mom, you had a mom. So that's fair. So if you have a question or your own momism to share, and we hope that you do, now's the time to do so by calling 1-800-471-9264 or email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post on our Midday Matters Facebook page. We really would like to hear from you. And before we go to an excerpt from this fantastically humorous book of Nicole's, we have a caller on the line?
We do. We have Denise on the line. Denise, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Okay. My question is, how does it compare to be a mother in Fort Wayne and in other cities? I personally chose to come back to Fort Wayne 25 years ago when I realized I was going to have to raise my son as a single mom.
Great question. Nicole, do you want to start off?
Yeah. I was raised by a single mom for a large portion of my life. So congratulations to you, because that's not an easy job. And I think sometimes single mothers are the best mothers. But I had my first in Boston and I had my other three in the suburbs of Atlanta. And I have to say that what I think is amazing, actually, that is kind of breaks down the geography is whenever you're a mom and you have kids, those places become more sacred to you. Boston will always be one of my most favorite places in the world because it's where I became a mom. And we would walk to the pediatrician. You know, I didn't have to get in a car. We could witness huge events. We took her down, covering her ears, of course, because we didn't want her to bust up her eardrums. But we took her to see the fireworks, and we could just walk there. We saw the Red Sox and their first ticker tape parade. And then we went to Atlanta, and we were in the suburbs, and life was a little bit easier, and we could actually go out to the park that was down the street, and I didn't have to worry about it being so crowded or so busy or so urban. And I fell in love with that place and said, this is it. This is where I want to raise my kids. And then because my husband had changed jobs, we came here to Fort Wayne, and now we don't want to leave. You can't get us out with a crowbar. But once your kids start making connections with the place that you live, and then you start making connections with the people who make that place special, it becomes home. I really think when you're in that mom family zone, every place can be home, and you can just make it work. I sometimes miss the convenience of not having to have the minivan in the city. That's the only thing I would go back to. But we plan to graduate everybody from high school from here, so I'm glad you picked it. You made a smart choice.
And Bonnie, you've had both of your kids are from Fort Wayne.
Yeah, my kids were born at one at Lutheran and one at DuPont. And so I don't have a perspective of having kids in another place. However, I did grow up on the East Coast, raised by a single mother as well. And yes, I have to say, you know, my husband has been traveling recently. And so I've been the single mom just for a couple days. Mm-hmm. And oh my goodness. I called my mom. I'm like, I am so sorry. I am so sorry, you know. I think Fort Wayne makes it fairly easy to be a mom because there are so many services available. There are so many beautiful parks and mm-hmm. playgrounds and walkable neighborhoods and good schools. I mean, say what you will, my kids are in Fort Wayne Community Schools, and, you know, they're getting a great education, and I know everybody thinks that other districts are better, but I love what's going on in the school districts here, and I've seen other school districts that were not good, and there's just so much here in Fort Wayne to do, and it's safe. You know, it's mm-hmm. safe here, and, you know, living on the East Coast, there are places I could not go. And I would never let my children go there. And in Fort Wayne, you know, pretty much everywhere is pretty safe. There are some areas, yes. But, you know, if you're not in a gang and you're not doing drugs and, you know, you're not in a domestic violence situation, you're probably going to be in pretty good shape. And it's, you know, the kids are pretty good here. And, you know, I mean, we can let them run around in the yard. And, you know, it's, you know, apart from the snow, you know.
And I want to jump in and add something about Fort Wayne that I think is special. The size of our city makes it so that kids can participate in professional organizations that they wouldn't have a chance to be a part of in bigger cities. For example, we danced, my daughters are taking ballet through Fort Wayne Ballet, and we're doing it through the YMCA in a satellite class, but the end of your performance is on stage. And when my daughter went the first time, the whole night, my mom was with me then, and the whole night she kept saying, "Grandma, Mom, I can't believe I'm dancing in the city. And I'm, you know, I'm on stage in the city." And she was dancing with professional ballerinas. It was a wonderful experience. And that you don't get everywhere. That's kind of a Fort Wayne special.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Denise. Nicole, without further ado, before we run out of time, we only have about 15 minutes left of our program today. Let's hear an excerpt from your book.
Okay. So like I said, the book is made up of a collection of essays, not all of them mine. Mine is called The Other Mommy War. Kind of talking about something, an insidious problem I think we have, which is that we always put down moms who have, quote, only one child. So here's a short excerpt. "As a mother of four, I can assert that nothing I've done as a mother was harder than having, quote, only one child. I wonder if mothers of more than one are reluctant to acknowledge this truth because they're afraid to lose their sympathy card. That's the imagined scorecard that parents carry around. Points are awarded like this. One baby equals 1 point. You're new at this, and we all feel sorry for you, but not enough to really help out because we've already lived it and you'll survive, whiner. 2 babies equal 5 points because you're really committed to procreation, but not insanely so, and we can offer you help now if only because helping you means we can't babysit for that one friend with 5 kids. That chick's a lunatic. Have twins or higher order multiples and you get tons of points. But you can only redeem them for help from immediate family or really close friends, because no one wants to be responsible for your litter. Have more than 3 or have more after having multiples, and you're at 0 points. Consider yourself quarantined, because no one wants to catch your crazy. After all, you should have figured out how babies are made by now, you idiot."
That was a fantastic excerpt from Nicole Lee Shaw's collection of work, and that was one of her own pieces from I Just Want to Pee Alone. And thank you for sharing all of the momitude there in one great couple of paragraphs. In the meantime, you will be reading from this and other amusements tonight.
Yes, actually, I'll be reading an original piece. I can't say which one, something I've already written for what is a national show called Listen to Your Mother. It's called the tagline is Giving Mother's Day a Microphone. It was started by Ann Imig. And now is in over 25 cities. So tonight, the Northwest Indiana show in Valparaiso at 7 p.m. at the Memorial Opera House is happening. I think there are still tickets available, and there is a website for the show. If you go to www.mohlive.com/events/LTYM-L. You can still buy tickets for the show, and it'll be myself and 14 other women reading original essays about motherhood. Not all of us are mothers necessarily, but these are stories about mothers.
What a great showing, and that's if it's sampling of your humor and your attitude, that's going to be delightful. We'd like to remind everybody that this is, we're celebrating mom centricity this entire Midday Matters, and we're very proud to have author and mom bloggers Nicole Lee Shaw with us and Bonnie Blackburn Penhallow. I have, it's been alluded to during the show, and Daniel, our caller, even bringing up feminism and you ladies' own stories. Hats off to the single mom, of course, or single parent. And but what particular insight or wisdom can you share with them, knowing how hard it is to be a parent on a parent team with children? Nicole?
There's more to be said about surviving than I think gets lip service. We spend so much time on the details. You know, are you breastfeeding or bottle feeding? Did you use cloth diapers or not? Are you organic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Homeschooling, the list goes on. And honestly, you can't emphasize enough that the details just don't matter. What the only person they should matter to is the parent and the kids. What works for you really works. It's not a compromise. There's no right way. And I think that's got to be especially true of single moms, people who don't have a second adult on hand to help them out. And me personally, I don't live near my family. We keep moving and they're all back in New Jersey and Connecticut, mine and my husband's family. And certainly I'm not a single mom, thank God for my husband. But, you know, we've had to do things without having that extra support. And that's when you give yourself permission to let go of making a plan that you stick to. Instead, you make a plan for today, and you do what you have to do to survive, because your kids are people. They're not a project. Just be happy, feed them, teach them, and hope that they come back to visit you in the nursing home.
What about you, Bonnie?
Well, you know, growing up with a single mom who worked many, many hours as a teacher, God love her, she was raising us and generations of students because she was a mom to many, many students. She worked these incredibly long days, and she would say she didn't do a very good job, but hey, look at me, I'm great, you know, so she must have done something right. But she, you know, she worked so hard, and now, you know, she's enjoying a sort of a second life now that the kids are out of the house. She's married now again. She's been married for 20 something years, and almost 20 years, and has this great new life, and you know, it's like, it's not that she doesn't still mother us. She does still mother us, but she's survived single motherhood, mm-hmm. and thrived and you know, raised three really good kids who now have children of their own and are all married and settled and happy. And so, you know, I mean, even though the dark days of single parenthood were very, very difficult, they are survivable. And like Nikki said, you make it through the day, and the children are still alive. You've done your job, mm-hmm. And I'm very thankful for my husband. And I, you know, he is the calm when I'm the anger, and you know, the kids run to him when mommy gets mad, and you know, they have, you know, but you have someone to bounce ideas off of, and when you're a single mom, you don't have that backup, that support. Mm-hmm. And I've, you know, seen that when he's been traveling. So, you know, I think, you know, to say hats off to a single mom is not giving them enough credit for what they're doing, because there's so many out mm-hmm. there now that it's almost the norm. And, you know, I think that's, you know, that's too bad, because kids benefit from both parents and both perspectives. So, you know, I mean, I think, you know, by giving hats off to single moms, we're giving the dads a pass, and that's not right, because the dads need to be there.
Right.
So
we have just about 8 minutes left in today's show. So if you have a question, you can give us a call at 1-800-471-9264. If you'd like to call, make sure you do it in the next couple of minutes so we can get you on the air. You can always email us middaymatters@nipr.fm or post on our Facebook page, Midday Matters. I want to talk a little bit about what is coming up for you ladies. Nicole, anything? I know you're speaking tonight in Valparaiso, and that's quite exciting. Anything else on the horizon that you want to share that you're having the work?
It's funny, I've been running kind of breakneck speed to get to today and through to tomorrow where I can let my laryngitis take over and not have to speak anymore. But I'm working on some things. I'm lucky enough to partner with a television production company called Castle Pictures Incorporated, who does some reality TV. And I fell into that, like all things. Like I said, I just keep saying yes to things that come across my desk. So we have a couple projects we're working on that I'm hoping will make it to television at some point in time, hopefully none of which I will have to be in. And I'm also trying to get my book, the I Just Want to Be Alone book, into more places. Right now, the Bookmark and Hyde Brothers do have copies of the book for sale, but I would like to see if I can't get into the Barnes & Noble and some of the other places here. I love independent booksellers. I wish Mitchell Books was still open, but they're not, and that's my neck of the woods. It'd be great to be there. But I think I'm going to keep promoting this, and I'm also submitting to another anthology that's on the horizon that is not yet ready to be announced. But yeah, I've got a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff going right now.
And you, Bonnie?
Well, we're just plugging away at the magazine.
And I write for the magazine.
And she writes writes for our mom's magazine, which comes out in Fort Wayne newspapers in the next couple weeks. I know what we have. We have Come Play with Mom's Day.
Oh, that's right.
Come Play with Mom's Day is June 15th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Parkview North Hospital Campus Playground. And we are inviting all of our moms to come out and bring their kids and get to know our bloggers. And, you know, one of the things that we see on our website is that our moms, you know, who are new to the area don't know other moms, and they want to meet other moms and, you know, have play dates with their kids. Well, this is a chance to come out and meet our moms. So that's Saturday, June 15th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Parkview North Hospital Campus Playground. And we're working with Parkview to have sunscreen and water, and we're just going to have just a chance. We'll have our bloggers there so you can meet the bloggers, and it's going to be a really fun day. And we're probably going to have another one in July and maybe one in August, and you know, depending on how it goes. And we just really want to see everybody come out and get to know some other moms in the community, so you know, you are not alone, and there are other moms out there who want to meet you and have fun. So
we have a caller on the line. Yvonne, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm one of those mothers who do know how babies are made, but I elected to have six. And I'm wondering if your people know that Tom Henry is one of 17.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And I am for big families that one can afford. I did not work. I was home with my children. There's lots of families. The Wygans had 10 children. Their children are in business in Fort Wayne. And I think I don't feel sorry for people who have one child, because one child, in a way, is worse than having six, because when you have six and they take care of each other and they help you, and it just seems that all this pity me, I don't know how they got to be single mothers. I mean, they either divorce their husbands or their husbands divorce them, but that, you know, that was their own volition.
Well, there are lots of circumstances that bring about single moms, death in the family. I mean, you're automatically kind of put in that position where you're a single person. So I think there are many circumstances where, unfortunately, you're a single parent, and sometimes that's to no fault of your own. But we're, you know, focusing on celebrating moms of all types. And Nicole, let's give the information one last time of your speech tonight at Valparaiso, because tickets are still available.
I believe, as last time I checked, they're still available, but we were down to 59 yesterday, so hurry. But it's the Listen to Your Mother show. I'll be part of the Northwest Indiana show in Valparaiso at the Memorial Opera House. The show starts at 7 p.m. tonight, And you can get tickets online from www.mohlive, that's MOHLIVE.com/events/LTYM-1. And you can get tickets there, and they're only $15.
And will you have some of your book there? Any copies
for
people?
No, I was not able to. Although I did give away some on my blog, and mm-hmm. I will be giving those out to the lucky winners. No, I was not able to have them on because I can't be there with it since I'll be in the show, mm-hmm. and I didn't have anyone who could
Wait, hold on, Nicole. You can't sell the books and talk at the same time.
I mean, I could throw them. I could lob them at the audience like peanuts at a game. Maybe that's what I'll do, and I won't tell Loveland Palm, who's our director there. I won't tell her. She'll be so shocked. I hope you're not listening. Love you.
If we're lucky at all, this will appear as a blog on multitasking to the extreme.
Yes, I think so. I like it, yes.
And you, Bonnie, give us a quick shout out on how people can find your blog and find all of you ladies and continue this fantastic conversation.
Come and find us at moms.fortwayne, that's FORTWAYNE.com. There's a button that says blogs. We have 5 or 6 bloggers mm-hmm. now. We have Incredulous Mom, a new mom of a single child. So mm-hmm. she's brand new to momming, and she's really hilarious as well. We have Sherry Carlstrom, who was the National Young Mother of the Year in 2010. And she has 5 kids, I believe.
I think so.
And she's just a wonderful, wise woman. We have Gloria Doty, who's blogs about her daughter, Kalisha, who has some challenges, and she's very funny. And then, of course, myself and Nikki. Mm-hmm. And we have a great community on our discussion boards, and it's a great place to be. That's moms.fortway.com.
We have just about a minute left in the program, but I want to just ask, what are your plans for Mother's Day? Nicole, yeah. Do you have any big plans? Do you get a break?
Yes, I'm getting brunch made for me by my mother's visiting from out of town, so that's great. And we're going to my girlfriend's house, and the husbands have gotten together to make brunch. So I've been pinging mine. Did you buy the things that you need to hold up your end of the bargain? But I'm excited. I don't even care what they serve. I will take a ham and cheese sandwich as long as I don't have to make it.
And I am getting a massage at the Woodhouse Day Spa. I am very excited. So,
well, happy Mother's Day to you both.
Thank you.
Totally well deserved. And we'd like to also invite you to share our own folktale of motherhood. And that's Saturday evening as well as Monday evening, Saturday 8 to 9 and Monday 11 to midnight right here on WBOI.
And support for this program on WBOI is provided by the United Way of Allen County, announcing this year's top campaign committee award recipient, GMFWA Truck Assembly Plant UAW Local 2209. That's what it means to live united. UnitedWayAllenCounty.org. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 and HD Channel 1. We're streaming online at NIPR.FM. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE, a service of Manchester University and supported by people like you. Thank you. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.